I want to put in one last plea. I know Lynn did. Very, very great job, Lynn. Well, your check's in the mail. I want one last plea for our directory pitchers. This really is the last day. Our ladies have worked really hard to put that together, and we're hoping to have that out to you in the next few weeks. And really want, if you kind of sort of think that this is your church fellowship, I really want to encourage you to be in our directory. I was going to have my picture made again this morning, but my hair wasn't doing right, and so I just went with the one that I had last time. But no, I don't. That's not an excuse. What you wore and your hair and all of that stuff. Just go back over there at the end of the worship service and have your picture made, because we want to know who you are. That's one of the frustrations for me is if they come to church and you come ever so often and you come in and I meet you and then you leave and I don't see you for a few weeks or maybe a few months and you come back in and that's happening. You got to remember that's happening every week with folks, and it's hard to learn and remember names. And I want to know everyone's name. I know that's not possible all the time, but I really want to know your name. I want to know your story. I want you to know my story and our church's story. But more than anything, I want you to know Christ's story and how he feels about you. So this is a place, this is a fellowship that I hope that you will feel the love of Christ in. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Now, I'll get to it in just a minute. We're concluding our Lord's Prayer sermon series, but I'll get to that in just a minute. But this is a scripture that's taken just a couple of chapters before Matthew 6 is what I've been reading through this series, that where Jesus actually teaches the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Now, Jesus comes to the River Jordan, and he allows John the Baptist to baptize him, and we pick it up in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now, I want to stop for just a second. You know, it's amazing. There's actually people in the church, in the Christian church, that actually, and they're, I would call them out of the mainstream, kind of radical thinkers, and I would call them also, a real complicated word, are you ready for this? Wrong. But that actually deny the Trinity. That we as Christians, as Protestant Christians, as Methodist, we believe in the Trinity. This, if you believe in God's Word, this is a picture of the Trinity. We just saw it. Jesus, the Son, was baptized. God the Father spoke to him, and the Holy Spirit lit upon him in the form of a dove. Trinity. Hello. All right. So Jesus is baptized. It says in another version of this story, it says that he's led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. In Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went to the desert to be tempted. So we pick it up in verse 2 there. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. By the way, he was led by the Spirit to be tempted. Have you ever thought about that? It's not like he just stumbled into the desert and he just stumbled into these circumstances of being tempted by the devil. This was a specific leading of the Holy Spirit into the desert. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." He's quoting from Deuteronomy. All of these passages, many of these passages come from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Jesus answered, It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's out of Deuteronomy 8. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And in Luke, this is the Luke version of this, there says they left the devil left him until an opportune time, meaning I'll be back. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We know you are here. But we ask you to speak in power and authority. Teach us, Lord. And transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, I'm concluding the sermon series today. Pray like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. Today's sermon, we're taking the last verse of the Lord's Prayer, and I didn't read it this morning, but the verse is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, our Lord's Prayer that we recite, that's the more traditional version, says from evil. So if you look at different translations of the Greek, you will hear evil, and you will hear the evil one. How that is translated. But today, the name of the sermon is, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. And I have subtitled it, and it may not be who you think. You know, we tend to think that our enemy sometimes is a spouse who has betrayed us, or a family member who has hurt us or betrayed us, or that mean and wicked co-worker. We so many times we place our emphasis on that person right there is my enemy. That's not the case. But we do have an enemy. You know, here in about, I think, roughly 2 weeks, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. And most of us remember where we were when we found out and saw the horrific video images of that day. Major thing happened that day. But what I want us to think about this morning is that's when the attack on us manifested itself. That's when it all came together and we began to see the fruit of what had probably been being planned for years. Whether we knew it, and even before that fateful day of 9/11, we had an enemy. They were plotting to take us out. It didn't matter if we knew it, and it didn't even matter if we believed it. We had an enemy. And they had a very specific goal in mind, to inflict as much damage as they could possibly inflict. Friends in Christ, do we believe this book? I mean, when I did the sermon series in the spring and we answered the questions, I said over and over, it all has to start, do we believe God has spoken? If we don't, then you probably are going to think that the things I have to say this morning are foolishness. You know what God's Word says about that? says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. If we believe in God's word, if we believe that God really has spoken, that these events really happened and that they were recorded by eyewitnesses, then we have to, as believers, then we have to believe in the devil. Evil is not this gray, fuzzy, foggy force that's out there. And if we're lucky, we can avoid it. And if we're unlucky, we might run into it. No, that's not the biblical idea of evil. Evil has a face. Evil is Satan. And he, it says in his word, says in God's word that he has set out to steal, kill, and destroy us. Now we don't like talking about that, but you know, as I'm going through teaching the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray against it. So what is he talking about? I mean, Jesus thought it was worthy to put into his model prayer for us to deliver us from this evil one, deliver us from temptation from the evil one. If Jesus found it worthy to put in this model prayer, why do we have such trouble acknowledging his existence and his activity in our life? He wants to take us out, church. There have been some things going on, spiritual things, that I'm not even going to share with you this morning because, quite frankly, many of you would think I'd lost it. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Many of you are not there to hear the things that I would share with you that have been going on in our fellowship. Specific things that I believe the evil one has been coming against us in very real ways. I've seen it for the years I've been here, but it is intensifying, church. It is intensifying. I believe with all my heart that the day of being a lukewarm Christian, the day of us saying that and putting that label on ourselves kind of haphazardly, is coming to a close. I believe it's going to start becoming costly to call ourselves Christians in the near future. I really believe that. So many times if you do surveys nationwide, we do surveys, are you a Christian? And it's so easy. People are like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, show me anything in your life that would be proof of the fruit of that. You know, it's like me saying I'm a pro golfer. Watch me play. You know, I have no fruit in my life to show that, to prove that, to demonstrate that. Do we as Christians, we have an enemy, church. I want to talk about three things this morning about this idea of our enemy. Number one, the battle is real. Satan is the enemy, and he wants to destroy you. Now, Hollywood has done us a disjustice, an injustice, because they have glamorized. I mean, we think that Satan is this demonic-looking figure that throws lightning bolts at us or whatever it is that Hollywood would say he would do. This creepy-looking guy, but he works in such different ways most of the time, church. And I want to tell you the two ways that I found he works most often that I have seen is in our thoughts, in our emotions. And here, I want to give you an example of that in our thoughts. Let's take a marriage for instance. If I were to get angry at Cheryl about something, I know you, sweet little Cheryl, you can't imagine that. But if I were to get angry at Cheryl about something, and suddenly I have these thoughts that's like, she doesn't deserve me. I can do better. I bet there's lots of women out there that would appreciate me. Just those, and I may not voice that, but just those subtle little thoughts. And it doesn't have to be marriage. It can be anything in our lives. When we begin to get those subtle little thoughts, feelings, and I've told you this before, there's been times that I'll be sitting there minding my own business. The life is good. Everything's great. And suddenly a thought will come into my mind about someone who I believe wronged me 20 years ago. Anybody else ever do that? It's like you'd be sitting there and I hadn't thought of this person in forever and nothing happens. And all of a sudden you're just like, yeah, in your mind. Yeah, that I can't believe he did that to me. I'm probably the only one that's ever done that. Man, I ought to, you know, something. Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I told you already, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know how many times God's word has to tell us that we have an enemy. It goes on to say in Ephesians 6, it says, for our struggle, Christians, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It seems as though there's like this army out to get us as Christians. That's what God's word seems to be indicating. Peter said in 1 Peter, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And then he goes on to say, resist him. Stand firm in the face. Resist who? This force, this gray, foggy thing of evil? No, resist the devil. That's what he's saying. And he tells, Jesus tells Simon Peter, he says this. He says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. We have an enemy. The battle is real. And our enemy wants to destroy us. The second thing. Satan tempts us when and where we are most vulnerable. And no one is exempt. I want to say that again. No one is exempt. And in case you were wondering, you're part of no one. I mean, you're in that group of that definition. Jesus himself, it says, and this, it's jumped out at me as I was studying this week. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. Why do you think that was? Why do you think he was, you would think he would have run the other direction. I believe that he wanted to show that he had authority over the devil. And guess what? If we're in Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, guess who else has authority over the devil? You and I. Jesus was tempted by the devil, but I found it so amazing that he went into the desert led by the Spirit after he was filled with the Spirit. He was baptized, the Holy Spirit came and descended on him in the form of a dove. God put his blessing on him, anointed him, and sent him out to accomplish his mission. And the first thing he did was he went to take on the devil. He took him on. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was cold. He was hungry. He was isolated. He was tempted with physical desires. He was tempted with pride and ambition. Satan wanted, because Satan knew that if he could get Jesus to somehow turn away from the Father, then he would have sabotaged the mission. So he tempted him. He was tempted with idolatry. If you bow down and worship me, look what all I'm going to do for you. If Jesus can be tempted, how much more so are you and I vulnerable? But remember, temptation is not sin. I'll say that again. Temptation is not sin. Listen to these passages, out of Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. That's our high priest. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, I feel this is not in my notes, but I just feel prompted to say it. I want you to think about the ways you are tempted. And I have seen this, you know, I was talking with somebody just the other day. The things I'm a man, so I relate to men probably better than I do with the women. I still have no idea how you women think. I'm learning. I'm trying. But I think like a man, and I know that men are tempted with the sin of pornography. And when we begin to put filth into our minds, filth comes out. And back in the old computer days, we had a saying, garbage in, garbage out. You write a bad program, you get bad results. You put garbage into your mind. And in the old days, when I was a young man, if you wanted to fall into that trap of pornography, you had to sneak into the 7-Eleven or something, and Westego. You had to sneak into Westego. Sorry, Don. Okay, the Westego didn't have these dirty magazines, so that's why I said 7-Eleven, you know. But you had to sneak into the convenience store and buy a magazine. Now it's piped into our homes. It's piped into our offices. I've known over the last several years pastors who have fallen victim to this. Pastors who have fallen victim to this and will be looking at that before church, before they go preach a sermon. They're so addicted to this sin in their life that they would do that and then they would go preach. And I want you to tell you, you don't have a perfect pastor, but I don't do that. I'm not addicted to that stuff. And I thank God, I praise God for that. But I'm telling you, we have an enemy and he wants to take us out. Satan's temptations can even seem reasonable and even scriptural. And that's what's happening in our culture that's more or less corrupting the church today. We take, for instance, something that's a great thing. It says God is love. And we take that, and many people will skew that. It's like, that means you do whatever you want to because God is love. You just do whatever you want to. So, because how could a loving God ever think that anything you did was bad or wrong? Well, see, that's the enemy twisting and perverting God's word. Yes, God is love, but God is also holy. And God is just. And He wants His people, He's calling His people to be holy. Satan may make it seem reasonable and even scriptural. How did he tempt Jesus? He tempted Jesus with all sorts of things, but did you know that Satan quoted scripture to Jesus? We just read it. He quoted out of the Psalms. Crazy, isn't it? He knows scripture. The problem is he perverts it and distorts it for his purposes. Third thing, and this is the good news. Haven't had any good news yet today. Let's get to the good news. God has not left us defenseless. We have an enemy and he wants to take us out, but God has not left us, his people, defenseless. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we resist him? I want to talk about three things here. What are our weapons? Here's our weapons, church. The first is the strong name of Jesus. Did you know that, and God's Word tells us, there's no other name under heaven by which men must save. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Did you hear that? At the name of Jesus, say that word with me. Jesus, say it again. Jesus, say it again. Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every knee shall bow. So if you ever, I don't know, when I have temptations or thoughts or unjust anger, anything like that that's coming into my life, I begin to sense that this is somehow an attack. And many times it can happen. I see it in marriages all the time. It can happen. He tries to attack me through Cheryl and my relationship. I can tell if there's tension there, and there's no reason there should be tension there at that moment. And I begin to pray in the name of Jesus, leave me and Cheryl alone. I just say it. Now, this may sound real, ooh. It's God's Word, church. We better wake up and start believing that we have an enemy. Listen to, I love this. Jesus sent out the 72 disciples to minister and to heal and all of these things. And listen, they came back in Luke chapter 10 and they said to Jesus, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Who? This vague thing of evil submit? No, the demons. Even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus said, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We have power over the evil one, but I'll tell you what I'm most thankful for is that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The second weapon is the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus and our testimony to its effect in us. You see, through the blood of Jesus, we are washed white as snow. So one of the things that the enemy does is he comes and he says in the Word that he is the great accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will tell you, you're not worthy. He will tell you, you don't measure up. He will tell you, you're inadequate. He'll tell you all sorts of lies, because that's his native tongue, again, God's Word. But listen to Revelations 12. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Why? The word of our testimony. Okay, the blood of the Lamb has washed us as white as snow, and our testimony is when we can say to the evil one, don't mess with me, because I am, through Christ, I have been washed white as snow. I am a child of God, and I'm telling you to just speak it, to speak the word of God, the testimony of your testimony to the blood of Christ, what it has done for you, the powerful name of Jesus. These are weapons against the evil one who would come against us. The third weapon is God's word. Now, I won't read. I think I've put it in your handout there. I won't read the whole thing. But Ephesians 6 gives us the full armor of God, and it says to put on the full armor of God, and it goes through a whole list of different things, and those are very specific things that I invite you to go back and to digest that and to read that. But at the end it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you know all of this armor is all defensive armor except for the Word of God? The Word of God is an offensive weapon. When Satan comes at you with lies, Jeff, you're not adequate. No, I'm adequate. Satan, let me tell you, I'm a child of the King. He hung on a cross for me. You want some more? And he comes at me with another lie, and you hit him with God's Word. It's this offensive weapon that we have, and we don't have to take it from him. Back in about 2002 or so, 2001, 2002, right in there, there was a pastor named E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill has gone to be with the Lord now, but this was at a Promise, I think it was actually the first Promise Keepers event in Colorado. Some of you may have even, Billy, were you at that one? I know some people that were actually at this event. E.V. Hill is talking about this idea of spiritual warfare being attacked by the enemy, and I want you to watch what Pastor Hill had to say.
This is a Promise Keeper Spotlight. Find out more about Promise Keepers resources and events for men at...
Jesus did not show the devil his glory because we don't have no glory. I go up my vest right here. Nobody won't be blown away. Jesus did not say, devil be done, because I couldn't have said it. Jesus had to do something that everybody in here can do. And I'm fixing to give it to you right now because I want you to use it tonight. I want you to use it tomorrow. I want you to use it tomorrow night. I want you to use it for the rest of your life. Jesus said, devil, it is written. It is written. That's what he said. It's written. In other words, Jesus went to the book of Deuteronomy and came out with scripture. And every time the devil opened his mouth, Jesus threw scripture in his mouth. He came back at him again and he said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit him over and over and over with the scripture. And guess what happened? The devil ran. And guess what you can do beginning tonight? You don't have to take it. You don't have to take his mess. You don't have to take his stuff. Hit him. It is written. When the devil comes up and says, how do you know you've been saved? You are not saved. Yes, I am saved. Hit him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hit him, hit him, hit him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hit him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hit him. How are you going to make it? My God shall supply my every need. How are you going to go through? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All you have to do is take out your Bible and say, where are you, devil? Come on, devil. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Let's get it on. He's defeated. Our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hit that devil with the word. Hit him! Hit him! Hit him!
How come y'all never stand up and start shouting when I... Let's pray. Father, we thank you that no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. We thank you that we have the powerful name of Jesus. We have the sacrificial blood of Jesus. And we have our testimony of how you've changed us, how you've healed us and made us whole. And we have the powerful Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd give us discerning eyes, discerning heart. We would know when things that come against us, thoughts, emotions, when those things are not of you. Father, if there's those this morning that don't believe, I pray that you'd open their eyes. Through the power of your Spirit. Father, I'm reminded of the old great hymn, "There's Power in the Blood." We thank you for your blood, Jesus. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. You stand as we close. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ this morning, what a great morning to do it. Come and visit with me if you would like to pray. The altar is open as well.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face
one day.
And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight, oh Lord, with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Resist the devil and he will flee. Go and tell someone. God bless. We are dismissed.
He is the Lord. gates on high.